From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell and Greg Hughes. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 75 with guest Mikel Juarez, recorded Thursday, August 28th, 2008. Run As Radio is produced each week by Pwop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com.
Yes, you're listening to Run As Radio. I'm your host, Richard Campbell, and with me as always, my fine friend and co-host, Greg Hughes.
Here with you for the 75th time.
75 shows, man.
Yeah, it's sort of like a landmarkish kind of thing, isn't
it? It's getting there. Well, they say the big one is 100 shows. You make it to 100 shows, you can do anything. So we're
That'll have to be insane in some way, shape, or form.
You know what? We should take suggestions. What do you guys want to see for a 100th show? What should we do? Send us an email, info@runasradio.com. And I would be remiss if I didn't call out the TechEd Europe sweepstakes going on over at .NET Rocks.
Yeah, what a cool thing. Win a trip to TechEd EMEA, Europe, Middle East, Asia, right?
Right.
And you get to choose this year or next year.
Right. So if because the contest runs almost right up to TechEd itself, you may not be able to take advantage of it right away, so they will carry it over for the following year. Airfare, hotel, admission. All you got to do
Very
is
cool.
Win the sweepstakes, which means answering questions about .NET Rocks.
Now, is it for both weeks, or do you get to choose the week, or
you
is
get
it
to
for
pick
dev?
A week. Or? It's 1 week or the other, so you can go to the dev week or the IT week. Either makes them happy.
So the IT week is the first week, huh?
Yeah, this year, the IT week is the first week, because I think they wanted to get away from PDC in Los Angeles.
Ah, makes sense.
So long trip for us, because I'm doing PDC, and then we're going to Barcelona to do the IT week, and then I've got to get back for Dev Connections in Las Vegas.
That's right.
And Mark Dunn's going to be there for the Dev Week, holding up the PWOP banner. So we'll still be represented on the Dev Week in TechEd Europe.
That's great.
All right, Greg, let's get to our guest. Mikel Juarez joined Microsoft 7.5 years ago in the role of Senior Program Manager for Microsoft SQL Server and is currently working as the Principal Architect on defining the next generation of SQL Server management platform infrastructure. Before he joined Microsoft, he spent a large part of his professional life at a large ERP company, where he was responsible for the architecture of the tools and runtime and development environment in his capacity as principal architect. Mikel has worked on various large-scale development projects in Unix, Windows, and various other platforms. His hobbies are photography, hiking, independent movies, and classical guitar. Oh, we got to hook him up with Carl.
Very cool.
Most of which are suspended because he's got a 2-year-old. So that will take over your life. Welcome, Mikel.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
It's good to have you.
So, originally from the Netherlands, but living in Redmond now?
That is correct. I came over here 7.5 years ago.
Wow.
Especially for this job. And I happen to like the environment as well.
Well, it is a fun place. And the weather's not that much different, I think, between Seattle and Amsterdam.
It's actually quite close.
Yes, very close.
It's a mixture of rain and sunshine.
That's right. If you can't take the clouds, you're in the wrong town.
No one can take it.
PowerShell. Do we have PowerShell for SQL Server now, or is it still coming?
It is SQL Server 2008. It's just been released, and it includes SQL Server PowerShell.
Awesome. So, full meal deal, everything you ever wanted to do in SQL Server, we can do through PowerShell now?
Basically, yes. And I started to think about when PowerShell development started, and you wouldn't believe it. It actually started 8 years ago. And that sounds kind of an odd thing to say, because I don't think PowerShell development started 8 years ago, but it actually started with the development of the SMO object model. As you know, PowerShell is really an object-oriented environment,
right,
in which you could do scripting. And what it really flies on very well is if there's a solid object model underneath. And the SMO object model, which I actually designed and co-developed myself, forms the basis of this provider. So, and that work started 8 years ago.
And that object model actually got surfaced in a few different incarnations as well, because there's all been a number of they call it DMO. What was the original? There was a library in SQL Server to access that object model as well.
Yes, that's correct. The story behind that is that at the moment that I came in, actually, that was 7 years ago. There was an existing object model called SQL DMO. It was based on COM, And as you know, at that particular time, .NET was starting to be phased in, and it didn't seem to be make any sense for us to continue that development on that old platform.
Right, because this is back in the SQL Server 2000 timeframe.
Just at the beginning of the 2005 development.
Right.
Yes, indeed, SQL DMO has been released already. I think it was already two or three releases in some form or shape.
Yeah, it did get out into the wild. We've used it. But it's like the last big COM library to come out of Microsoft almost.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so we decided to actually completely rewrite it. Instead of just shaming the old object model, which you see is a strategy that sometimes is used, we decided to go for completely brand new development and developed an entire new object model with particular characteristics that our users wanted to have from it. And some of these characteristics were, which already exists in DMO, by the way, ease of use, discoverability. It needs to be an object model that is casually used, or usable, so to say.
Yeah, because the reality, of course, is that folks don't use it every day, and they need to be able to just pick it up when they need it and do the things they need to do. But is this really something for developers?
It's a mixture of the two. It needs to be casually usable by a certain group of users that don't use it every day and use it in scripting environments. On the other side, it needs to be rich enough to host an ISV application, for example.
Right.
There are several vendors out there that build their tools on top of our object model. So it needs to serve both different groups. But if we were to make a feature decision on a particular set of objects, then we would go in. Then we would make it first workable for the casual user, and then we'll make it work for the more, let's say, advanced users.
Right.
And we got several user models over here, and internally they're called Mort, Elvis, and Einstein.
Ah, yes.
And we would write to Mort first. If we have to make a decision between Mort and Elvis, we will go for Mort.
Okay.
And that's been really a key, let's say, driver for the SMO object model, and that turned out to be a key asset in developing the PowerShell extensibility. Because guess what? When I started to think about designing a PowerShell extension on top of the SQL Server object models, it became immediately apparent to me that because all of the objects are extremely usable, the discoverability is really easy, a very good way of serving these objects up was through a provider.
Right.
So what you see in our environment, the SQL Server environment, is that you see not a whole lot of commandlets. And the main reason is the objects are by themselves extremely usable, and there is less need to develop, let's say, hundreds of commandlets. Secondly, is that if we were to go through the commandlet route and provide a commandlet for every possible task that could be done, we'd literally end up with a couple of thousand commandlets, most likely.
Right.
And then the usability is probably out of the door because it's not very discoverable. So what you see right now is a provider that gives you an extremely easy way to discover SQL Server. You just start it up. It starts in the right place. You CD into a machine. From that machine, you can see the instances. You can CD into an instance, and then you see the whole hierarchy as SQL Server exposes it. And that turned out to be... From our user perspective, we're initially somewhat skeptic to not have commandlets.
Right.
When they saw the strength of having a set of objects at your fingertips that are extremely usable, they immediately turned around. And when we showed this, for example, to a set of users and MVPs, some of them called it an elegant design, where you marry the two things, ease of use of the object model, with a very easy discoverability of those objects.
But the commandlets are, Exchange, which of course I think was the real driver behind PowerShell more than anything, is very commandlet focused. That it uses that's the way they go about things. But I guess the big difference when you come to SQL is I have the SQL language, and odds are if I'm doing this job, I know it. So isn't the main thing I'm going to want to do is be able to, once I can get authenticated to a database, is just issue SQL commands?
No, not necessarily. No. Well, both of it.
Okay.
You would see users who would stay in PowerShell and use the objects only to perform operations on manageable entities, such as a database or a table or an index. However, what we also recognize is that there's going to be a ton of people who have lots of scripts still in their back pocket to do operations. And we said, you know what, let's make it very easy to integrate these scripts in a PowerShell environment where they could enumerate their servers, their instances, their databases with ease, but within that context, use these scripts that they already have developed before our provider actually came to light.
So rather than invoking that script through OSQL, I'm able to do it through PowerShell without having
Correct.
To rewrite it.
Correct. And what we also did to enable this, we made sure that there's a deep integration between between the commandlet that allows you to execute scripts and the PowerShell environment itself. For example, if you were to log in using SQL Security in SSMS, you start a PowerShell from the database node that you want to that you want to manage.
Right.
You get a PowerShell in integrated security. Using that exactly same security context. Now, if you then start the commandlet called invoke SQL command from that particular place, it will yet again take over the security context that you already established, and it makes it a whole lot easier, and it's very intuitive to work in an environment that passes on your credentials all the time. You don't have to think about it anymore.
Need to explicitly log in. The context that you're running in is all you need.
Correct.
Well, that's a good thing. But then I also have the option of explicitly logging in as well.
Absolutely. So you can override the settings if you need to override those. So there's we made sure that flexibility is there to do whatever you want within the context that you want to specify.
And I definitely could see scenarios for both. I want to save the effort of not logging in all the time, combined with, really, I would think in context of an elevation, that my normal running mode has some additional privileges, and then I log in as a higher administrator mode to do something a little more drastic on the database.
Correct, yes.
Is there an ability to turn that capability off? I'm thinking from a security standpoint, there might be times when I simply want to be as secure as possible. I don't even want that to happen.
Yes, you could actually disable that feature if you wanted to. And then you would just go in using integrated security.
Gotcha.
So there are ways to, and we have thought about the security aspects of that as well, to disable that particular feature to make sure that your script always runs in the context that you expect it to run in.
Gotcha.
But I love the fact that I don't have to change the existing scripts I've got to utilize them in PowerShell as well. That's just a ton of work saved.
Yeah, that was a big thing for us, to not to have people throw away all of their existing TransactSQL scripts.
Yeah.
Now, at the long run, it's not only about TransactSQL. This is really about standardizing the language with which you will manage SQL Server. Right now, the provider, it's an extensible provider, by the way, the provider has been implemented in such a way that it actually doesn't necessarily know that it's actually working within SQL Server or within the policy-based management system. It's very, very generalized. And we actually can plug in new providers in our own provider infrastructure fairly easily. And an example of that is we have an object model around our data collector subsystem, which collects performance metrics for users for whatever purpose they want, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that subsystem has an object model that we wanted to plug in at the last moment. There was a discussion that let's add this to PowerShell. I think that I had only 1 week left of development time. It took me 10 minutes to plug it in, and it worked right away.
That's nice.
Literally 10 minutes. Now, it took me a day to debug the thing because something broke, but here's the thing. The provider model has been built to be extremely extensible.
Right.
And our whole vision around the object models is also based on that notion to be able to standardize the management operations. If you look now at any given object that exists in the different management spaces, whether it is SQL, policy-based management, data collection, or other spaces, you will see that most of these objects have the same look and feel. They all have a standard create method. They all have the same metadata. You can actually ask the objects about its hierarchy, how it's, what child objects it has, and so forth and so forth.
Right, where it sits in the hierarchy.
Exactly. And we've all been standardizing that. And in fact, there's an object query system that, that works the same across all object models. And in the coming releases, you will see that we'll expound on that vision. PowerShell is going to be a pivotal element in this, where you will see new providers being plugged in for release. For example, in the next release, I expect us to focus on analysis servers. We might take on a couple of other ones.
Right.
And these will just appear as one of the namespaces, so to say, in SQL PS. And the idea is that all these object models will take on this standardized look and feel for us, and that enables easy extensibility again for us. And at some point, we'd like third parties to plug in their extensions
sure.
as well.
Yeah, that would be very compelling. I also like the fact that you're going to be able to ship new features without having to ship a new version.
Correct. Yes, and that was also one of the things. We didn't want to write a provider or a new version of the provider whenever a new service pops up.
Right. What it does is it mitigates fear. For me as an administrator, every time I upgrade a version, I take a chance that stuff breaks. But adding a new provider in, that's just not a big deal. It only deals with new things. It's not going to hurt what I've already got.
Correct. Yes. And that's one of the goals.
Don't have to worry about breaking the contract, yeah.
Well, it's all part of that very suspicious mindset we need to have as people bound by SLAs.
Mm-hmm. So this environment is really focused on DBAs, IT pros, casual usage, but it enables cross-server and cross-service management. One of the things that we got from when I did initial user studies, one of the things that I got back from our user base, either inside or outside of Microsoft, is that people would like to manage more things than SQL Server only. They're not interested in learning yet another Transact SQL or other statement.
Right. Right.
They're more interested in managing their services. And this kind of abstracts it away from them. This allows us to provide a common API that everybody talks to in the same manner and reduces ownership in the end. That's one of the goals as well. So for our future releases, we have pretty big plans in that perspective. We'd like all of our object models to emit PowerShell.
Right.
We like the SSMS dialogs, the management API, GUI dialogs to emit PowerShell instead of emitting Transact SQL, or next two, actually. We'll still be able to emit Transact SQL, but PowerShell will be the primary choice, most likely.
So you're actually seeing all of it. This is something that IIS7 did, where essentially the IIS7 management console is firing PowerShell under the hood. You see you're going the same way?
That's been under debate right now. Yes, we'd like to do that. There's a whole lot of infrastructure that we might need to change in order to enable that, but that's absolutely one of the goals in the long run. So also we'd like to embed the PowerShell runtime inside the engines. So you can imagine you write a script for the client, and we think it also should be runnable inside of the server.
Right.
So you don't need to switch to Transact SQL if you're going to do something that's inside of the server. So another thing is what we're thinking about is integrate the PowerShell editor into our management environment, execution as well, so you can actually execute the PowerShell script and getting the results in the data grid, as you know it right now, if you've seen
yes.
the studio. Mm-hmm. And, so there's a big a lot of plans to and a lot of work ahead of us to provide new features.
What object models are covered right now in this first release? Is it just SQL Server? What about analysis services, SSIS, and so forth?
Currently, we have four object models that are covered by this. There's SMO that manages SQL Server,
right?
PBM or DMF, it's sometimes called, which is the for policy-based management. You can actually create, enumerate policies, and evaluate them as well. a data collector, management objects, and lastly, but not least, is the are the registered servers that reside on the client or on the central server.
Okay.
And the interesting bit there is that if that allows you to scale up your PowerShell scripts up to whatever amount of servers you put into that. I've been writing a couple of samples for our sample database, for example, that enumerates this collection of registered servers on a central server and performs these operations on all of them. And so one of the goals with this environment is also to allow people to scale up this type of management through scripting to hundreds of thousands of servers.
Well, and that was one of the visions behind PowerShell, was this ability to use enumeration and looping to sort of pull in larger sets of data, whether it was manipulating users or manipulating some other class of objects. And I guess servers would qualify as well.
Yeah, exactly that. And you will see us in the next release, you will see us focus on that quite heavily, actually.
So the server registration library is interesting. Maybe we need to define some of these other object libraries. Data collection, what's that about?
The data collector is an environment that is typically used to collect runtime data on which you can run reports. There's a couple of standardized reports currently being and collections being shipped that monitor SQL Server performance data. It stores the data in a data store that is queryable.
Right.
And allows you to, for example, do growth projection or do capacity management to look at your servers through the performance angle.
Is this another way of getting at the data management objects of the queries that essentially tell us the state of the database, of the load that it's under, that sort of thing?
Not quite. It is roughly a... I would explain that, and I'm not a specialist here. That I have to, to warn you. So, it collects. It actually loads up data from SQL Server and currently uses parts of DTS to do that.
Okay.
And stores it in a particular set of data tables. That data can be queried or reported on to do performance analysis on your data.
Right.
This is as much I can say about it. You're probably not talking to the right person here to get more detailed information.
All of the details on it. But it's interesting to see that that's exposed, because there's lots of potential there for tying in monitoring mechanisms, ways to analyze data server. Like, that's a very useful chunk of data.
Oh, yeah. And actually, we will be starting on focusing on making that data more usable in the next release.
Oh yes.
By building a modeling environment around that, so you can actually reason better over the data. The data that's currently stored is kind of let's say the raw data.
Yeah.
And we're going to introduce models around that data, so you can reason over the data. For example, if you see a CPU spike or a disk I/O spike in disk usage, then you should be able to analyze this by not by tying things together through code, which often happens,
right?
But by looking at the metadata and seeing what the possible causes can be, and actually dive into these particular data sources to get more information.
Yeah, so, where that would get cool is when you start drilling against profile, what's currently running, event logging. It's that combination of data that really reveals what's going on.
Exactly that. So correlation of data, building information. Let's say you could imagine you should be able to, with the data and the metadata is provided, to build a cube around your information,
right,
as well, to do analytics on it. So there's some early thinking on it right now, but it's about as much as I can say about it as well.
Yeah, there's a lot more. The fun part here is I think you've made a really cool version, but it's apparent that there's a lot more to do. SQL Server is such a rich product. There's a lot of libraries and a lot of things that could be done in PowerShell. I start thinking in terms of, I'm a big OLAP buff, and so I start thinking about what I could do from a PowerShell perspective to get at OLAP data and to help generate a cube. It's a little lower level way of going about it, but sometimes you don't want the UI. You want a different way to get that stuff created.
Yeah, and that's what we started to unlock in the next release or releases. We would like to make all of these services available through this provider model. Now, that said, it doesn't mean that we're going to completely shy away from providing commandlets. We will listen to the customer base and sure. see where we have to build commandlets for the most common use cases that might not be so intuitively done through the object model. So we will try to strike a balance between having a strong object model, but also having a set of commandlets available for the most common scenarios. And the key is really here to reduce the amount of time that people have to spend on scripting.
Sure. But you don't want to have thousands of commandlets either. That's not easy to manage either.
It is. In the end, these commandlets would be merely shims around our object model.
Right.
Our object models, if you look at individual methods, take a table and there's a method that validates the data. Well, that will probably be a commandlet, right?
Right.
And that would merely be a shim. However, a commandlet development is fairly expensive compared to exposing an object through the provider. Because each commandlet needs a separate help text file. It needs separate testing,
right.
Whereas the object model already exposes most of the functionality at the level that the user expected it to be exposed.
And it's already gone through the testing and so forth, so you're able to ship
exactly.
more in less time that way.
It will be an extreme cost burden, actually, and it will take away from all of the features that we'd like to develop. So it turns out that having a very strong object model, which is very usable, turned out to be a key asset in this particular design of SQL PS. And I'm eagerly awaiting to hear the user's feedback on what their experience is going to be. So far, responses have been pretty good. People liked the intuitiveness of it. We also made sure that whatever we expose at the object level looks very similar to what you see in the UI.
Right.
If you were to do a dir at the database level, you will see the same fields that you would normally see in the middle pane, right? So we try to make things look and feel quite the same. The Object Explorer tree is fairly much the same. In the end, we would like them to be the same, exactly the same as PowerShell.
So you don't notice any differences.
Right.
But I think the big thing is if you're familiar with the UI environment, the management tools, the SQL Server, you know the tasks you want to do, you should be able to discover those in PowerShell as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And integration with the UI was a key thing for us as well. You can actually walk up to the UI, click on a node and say, well, let me start doing something with PowerShell from this node on, and it will bring you to the exact context where that you have in the UI as well. So you don't need to CD into that space. It's already there. And I think that's bringing it, let's say, bridging the gap between UI and scripting is extremely important to me.
Right.
Making sure that gap is very, very small is going to be one of the focal points for us.
You mentioned this very early on, is the fact that you have this choice between using SMO to, say, create a table, but could just as easily use your invoke SQL command to send a create table statement. Why both? I mean, I always think it's SQL, so I think I would tend to invoke a SQL command. Is that really an impairment for some folks? Doesn't it require more work for you to do that?
I would say... No, it does not, by the way. But in our discussions that we've had with people, we had many people asking this particular question.
Okay.
That you just asked. And what turned out is that there's two types of users. Users that are new to SQL and don't know Transact SQL very well.
Right.
And they will naturally gravitate to the object model.
Right.
There's the advanced users that will continue to use transaction for quite a while. We had to serve both types of users, and that's why you see this environment that supports both. And that there was no magic there. There's no other reason to do that.
Right.
We would like people to leverage the existing knowledge and not forcing them into PowerShell if they don't want to. But we'd like them to give them the discoverability, because I think that is one aspect that a lot of people will start to use. The navigational aspects of it, the ease of use of this navigation environment that is outside of the UI.
That we could just browse the object model with the tool.
Yep. If you don't know SQL Server, you see it for the first time. Starting, for example, VBScript and DMO is fairly impossible for most users.
Absolutely.
I think they would need to learn quite a bit about the object model and about SQL Server to be able to use that. However, if you start SQL PS and you CD into a server, it's immediately apparent what you see there. You see databases, you see tables, the objects that are returned. If you have to understand something about PowerShell, right? If you understand that these objects are table objects, then you will understand there's methods on them that allows you to operate on these objects. It's a very small step from getting an object to working with it. I gave some examples. For example, reindexing all your indexes is a matter of two lines of PowerShell script.
Right, as opposed to knowing the command you'd have to pass to invoke a reindex.
Exactly, and knowing that you have to instantiate a particular object in a particular part of the hierarchy.
Right.
So it is extremely user-friendly from that perspective. It allows for people to gradually learn the environment, not having any barrier to step into it. And it is like a disk drive. Everybody knows how hierarchies and disk drives work.
Sure.
It has exactly the same look and feel. We didn't introduce any oddities there. We made it as naturally as possible so that people don't have a learning curve there to learn this new environment. They will almost immediately feel, familiar in that environment. It's, there's a database directory, and it contains databases. Let me do something with it, right?
Right.
So usability was really a key focal point here. And now, if SQL Server were to be a small service, right, with a limited set of objects and a limited set of operations, I could have argued that a set of commands would have done the same job.
Yes.
Right? However, that not being the case, SQL Server being an ecosystem of different services, mm-hmm. Having to exist next to Exchange Server, next to other services that need to be managed by IT professionals, this strategy makes more sense in that perspective.
Considering the diversity of SQL Server, you bet. So one of the areas I'm immediately sort of latching onto with PowerShell would be scripting failover scenarios, like switching over from a log shipping mode from one to the next. Have we got all that implemented? Like, I'm able to write the script that I could just make an invocation in PowerShell to complete a full failover?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So all of that sort of management level stuff and so forth, that's all there.
Yeah, so this goes back to the initial goal of SMO. SMO was focused to provide full manageability.
Right.
Of all of the manageability aspects. And that includes scenarios that like you talk about right now. So there's hardly any area that is not covered by SMO. If it's not covered, I consider that to be a bug at this stage. Right?
Excellent.
So if you look at the new release of SQL Server, all of the servers that have been developed right now immediately include SMO support. Every individual team that works on a feature set within the SQL Server team, and the SQL Server team is by now a fairly large team, takes that on almost naturally as a task.
Right.
To include manageability as one of the aspects of the feature that they deliver. So, from that perspective, the SMO object model it's been proven to be pretty successful because it scales to a large organization like this, where many, many people need to provide new manageability features.
But it's also abundantly clear to me that this would be great on a small instance like an Express instance of SQL Server on a workstation. It'd be nice to be able to use PowerShell scripts there as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So if you're a developer and don't want to use a UI, if you have, even if you have one server, it is still a very useful environment,
right?
Because it allows you to quickly do things. I find myself in development phase also doing this. I almost automatically gravitate towards PowerShell, do my initial testing, for example.
Sure.
The reason is I don't have to develop a C-sharp program, compile it, run it, put it in a test framework. No, I do my initial proof of concept testing using PowerShell. I expect other users to do the same thing. Other developers, for example.
Also, deployment and installations and stuff, like, just a so much better way to go about this.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I this is one of the areas where I expect this to be used quite a bit as well. I was listening to using PowerShell with VMware. One of the programs that you've had a few weeks ago with Hal Rothenberg and Carter Shanklin.
Yes.
Yeah. And one of the things they mentioned was to provision a server and then poking through the VM actually into these services to configure them.
Right.
I expect that to be PowerShell as well. And that's SQL PS, for example, and all the other providers are being developed or already have been developed by the different server teams. Will be used to configure systems like in those type of scenarios.
Well, not only inside of Microsoft, but as you're sort of alluding to, out in the community, there's a strong community around PowerShell. Are there some specific resources for PowerShell for SQL Server that you'd suggest people take a look at in the community?
Yes. I don't have them at the top of my head, but I can actually give you some of the references that I have after the show, so you can put them on the show's blog.
Yeah, you bet. We'll link to that so that people have access to it. Now, I'll certainly get a link to your blog as well, so the folks can get your comments on where PowerShell is going from and get back to you too on their impact around PowerShell.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to get more feedback on it, on the users of it. Getting more exposure is greatly welcome.
Absolutely. Mikhail, thanks so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate bringing us up to speed on SQL Server and PowerShell.
It's great being here. It's just very great fun to talk about this project.
Excellent. And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.